Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Right, glad you are with us. We're going to get back to talking about the speech by Andrew Jackson today. We want to finish that up today if we at all possibly can. We do have breaking news out of Israel. 7 killed, 10 injured in Jerusalem terror attack. Paramedics have arrived onto the scene and began providing treatment to those injured. At least 7 people have been killed in a suspected terrorist shooting attack in one neighborhood in Jerusalem on Friday evening, with another 10 injured in the incident. The terrorist was killed by security forces. The attack occurred near a synagogue in the neighborhood. So again, the terrorist attacks seem to be increasing the last several months in Jerusalem, in Israel. We'll keep you posted as the news develops. Also, of course, here we are in the Mid-South, and all eyes now are on Memphis, Tennessee, of which we are just outside of. And Memphis, as you guys know, maybe you don't know, but 5 black officers, pulled over a black man, and the reports we're being told are that the man eventually was handcuffed and was beaten brutally while handcuffed. I received a phone call today from a police official that I know well. I cannot obviously tell the source, because there's protocols and who can speak publicly and whatnot. But the individual called to let me know that this footage, as is being advertised and promoted on television, will be released at 6 p.m. Central Time. 6 p.m. Central Time. He called to say, stay where you are. Do not venture into Memphis. I said that wasn't going to happen anyway. But he said that... this footage, he has not seen it, but he has talked to those who have. He said it's really, really brutal. I said, how brutal? He said, worse than Rodney King. And I said, what were these guys thinking? He said, I have no idea. The guy was handcuffed, from what we're being told. And I'm told it was shot, the footage was shot underneath a sky cam. Any of you know that in your towns, they have put up these cameras up on these poles, and it's not uncommon for these poles to have a blue light on them that flashes so everybody knows that there's a camera and you're being filmed. And apparently this official said that they did this under a sky cam. So the footage, I guess, is going to be quite clear. And then I learned a new piece of information I did not know, because I'm so busy tracking national and international news, I often don't pay a lot of attention to the news in the Mid-South, to be honest with you. I guess the fire and rescue guys that showed up on the scene stood by. And apparently, I'm being told by this source, those guys have now been fired for standing by. Now, this is supposed to be released at 6 p.m. Fox News and all kinds of outlets are really pushing it. And then it's going to be released at 6 p.m. Central. And so there's great concern over what will be used by outside agitators, whether the CCP and the groups they fund. Colonel John Mills was just on last night with me talking about the CCP funding what he estimates, again, as a former staffer for the National Security Council in the White House. He did some studies and some calculations, and he figured that in 2020, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, spent probably about $100 million on protesters in 2020. So when you look at what they do in these cities, this is not just, you know, Soros money, as many believe, and it's probably true. It's also CCP money, according to people like Colonel John Mills. So apparently Al Sharpton has arrived in town in the Mid-South, and that they are going to look to agitate this situation. And, of course, we'll be here to cover it and to cover it throughout the weekend, but we're praying that nothing happens. We really do. So we have that news. We also have news, of course, going on right now in California is the vote for the RNC chair. The chair of the RNC is being voted on. Ronna Romney McDaniel, going for, I think, a third term, and against Dylan, her last name, Dylan, and then, of course, Mike Lindell. Mike has been out there on the West Coast all week talking with the members of the 185, and we'll see where that goes as that vote is being held here today. So a lot of things going on in the news, and we'll keep you posted about these things throughout the day. I do want to turn back now to the speech by Andrew Jackson. We've been going through this speech, and then we're going to open for phone calls today. March 4th, 1837, his farewell address, and so many of his words are prophetic and where we find ourselves today. Let's pick it up right here. Plain as these principles appear to be, talking about our U.S. Constitution, you will yet find there is a constant effort to introduce the general government to go beyond the limits of its taxing power and impose unnecessary burdens upon the people. Many powerful interests are continually at work to procure heavy duties on commerce and to swell the revenue beyond the real necessities of the public service, and the country has already felt the injurious effects of their combined influence. Well, what do you think he would say today about a standing IRS, a standing Internal Revenue Service, that is a progressive income tax that punishes achievers and those that actually create the jobs, and a tax code that accountants cannot figure out? If they were given the same tax return, 10 accountants would come up with 10 different answers. It's beyond, and if you were to stack the tax code in front of them, the number of papers, they would be in absolute disbelief that we did not heed their warning, and we allowed the government to tax the American people into a slavery servitude as we have today, to grow the government beyond its constitutional bounds, and to bring us to this point of incredible socialism in the United States of America. They would be absolutely mortified. Jackson continues in his farewell address, 1837, "The design to collect an extravagant revenue and to burden you with taxes beyond the economical wants of the government is not yet abandoned. The various interests which have combined together to impose a heavy tariff and to produce an overflowing treasury are too strong and have too much at stake to surrender the contest." Now, folks, what's very interesting is in 1837, he says that the groups, the various interests that have combined together, what's he talking about? Well, he goes on to describe it: big business and big government. Big business and the proponents of big government. Big business, big corporations, and the proponents for big government. What is it we're facing today, folks? We're facing that same thing, aren't we? The public-private partnerships. What's the Federal Reserve? The Federal Reserve, of which is a central bank, we got in 1913, after he did away with the U.S. Federal Bank, the U.S. Central Bank. He did away with it, got censured by the Senate for it. He did away with it, warned us, don't ever do this again. We didn't listen, got one in 1913. The Federal Reserve is really nothing more than private banks and big government. It's the public-private partnership. The Federal Reserve is a public-private partnership. Big banks, private banks, working in concert with the government, the U.S. Treasury, the Federal Reserve, and the U.S. Treasury working with these big banks, private banks, given a private charter by the federal government in 1913 to regulate our money and interest rates, etc. This is big. This is the public-private partnership. And this is exactly what Andrew Jackson is warning about. They're not going to give up. They're not going to surrender. He says the corporations, there you go, the corporations and wealthy individuals who are engaged in large manufacturing establishments desire a high tariff to increase their gains. Designing politicians will support it to conciliate their favor and to obtain the means of profuse expenditure for the purpose of purchasing influence in other quarters. In other words, exactly what Carol Quigley said in his book in 1966, Tragedy and Hope. The central bankers co-opt the politicians. The central bankers pay for and put the politicians where they are. You want to know why very little changes? You want to know why they don't like people like Ronald Reagan? You want to know why they don't like people like Donald Trump? Because those guys understood what the Federal Reserve was up to. They understood this. Trump wasn't a part of this money elite. They looked down on him. And he wasn't controlled by them. But the power, the bankers, the banksters, the money people, big corporations, wealthy people, banksters, use their influence and money, put politicians into power, and they work for the bankers. And he says that. He goes on to say, government cannot be permitted to employ its income in internal improvements. What's that? We learned from reading an article by Martin Armstrong, internal improvements is often was another, a nice way of saying pork spending, pork barrel spending. You know, using money for various projects that benefit different corporations or special interest groups. And he says governments cannot be permitted to employ its income in internal improvements. Efforts will be made to seduce and mislead the citizens of the several states by holding out to them the deceitful prospects of benefits to be derived from surplus revenue collected by the general government and annually divided among the states. What's he saying? States, don't fall for the bribery. They want to take the money from the people in your states, have it go to the general government, have a surplus, and then turn around and say to the politicians and government leaders in said states, now we'll give you back this money to spend in these various areas if you go along. And this is what he was warning us about, because he says, and if encouraged by these fallacious hopes, the state should discard the principles of economy which ought to characterize every Republican government. What's he mean by Republican government? Because every state had to be a Republican form of government to enter the Union. And should indulge in lavish expenditures exceeding their resources, they will before long find themselves oppressed with debts. You're going to grow the size of government. You're going to use the taxpayers' money, take money out of their pocket that's rightfully theirs, give it to the general government, go beyond what is necessary financially for the general government to fulfill its constitutional and enumerated responsibilities, grow government, and then use the excess to bribe people in their states, and this will grow government to the point that they end up being oppressed with debts. Is that where we are today? How many state governments are on the verge of bankruptcy? How many state governments have incredible amounts of debt? How about this? How many state pensions are really bankrupt? Illinois, are your state pensions bankrupt? How about some of these other states? Your state pensions, are they so in debt they're bankrupt? Will be oppressed with debts which they are unable to pay. And the temptation will be irresistible to support a high tariff in order to obtain a surplus for distribution. The federal government cannot collect a surplus for such purposes without violating the principles of the Constitution and assuming powers which have not been granted. It is, moreover, a system of injustice and if persisted in, will inevitably lead to corruption and must end in ruin. And here we are in 2023. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Are you concerned about the current financial state of not only America, but the world? Are you concerned about, well, the enslavement that can come to you through a digital currency where they can track every movement, every transaction, or turn you off? How about the merging of a digital economy with a social credit score? We saw through the COVID tyranny just how tyrannical our government can be to those who love liberty and freedom, to small business owners as well as large business owners, to the invasion of privacy. If you're looking for a way to secure your financial future, well, can I recommend you get the free packet of information from Wes Peters at Swiss America? We've been working with Swiss America for over 16 years as a sponsor of our radio shows, our TV shows, and our conferences, our free Worldview Weekend rallies we held all over America. Again, we've been working with them for over 16 years. In fact, Wes Peters shows up at our national conference at the Ozarks almost every year, and he sits and has meals and visits with many of our attendees who are now his clients. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? Well, I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And I believe you should call Swiss America right now and get their free, no-obligation packet of information. In fact, you don't even have to call. You can actually text Wes Peters right on his cell phone. Give him your name and mailing address and let him know you would like the free, no-obligation packet of information mentioned by Brandon House. You can text him at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. 558-8585. I'll give that again if you want to get a pen and piece of paper. Remember, when you get this packet of information, here's what I would recommend. Go through it. Write down all your questions. And then after you've thoroughly researched the information he sent you, then you can call him back up, set up a time and an appointment to visit with him and have all your questions answered. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. There is no template for every person. Every person is in a separate situation, right? So, my friends, do your homework and then ask a lot of questions. Once you're satisfied with all of your homework, then you can make a decision that is best for you. Again, it starts, I think, though, with getting that free packet of information. No obligation. Just simply text him your name and address. He'll send it on its way. And you'll get to learn the difference between bullion, freshly minted silver coins or gold coins, and what is known as numismatic, 1933 and older. You can learn about how to put gold in your IRA. These are questions, again, that you can get answered through that packet of information and conversations with Wes Peters at Swiss America. So, again, just simply text him your name and address, 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585, and that free packet of information will be on its way. Thanks. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. The farewell address of President Andrew Jackson, March 4th, 1837. Prophetic words saying the tax burden is going to become so great that it must end in ruin. And here we are, folks. We're now at about $200 trillion in debt as a nation. That doesn't count the debt of the states. That doesn't count the debt of the states. That's just our federal debt. You say, wait a minute, I thought it was like $31 trillion or something. You need to count in the off-record debt they don't count. Unfunded liabilities, Social Security, Medicare, etc. Close to $200 trillion. Well, we were warned. He says the surplus revenue will be drawn from the pockets of the people, from the farmer, the mechanic, and the laboring classes of society. But who will receive it when distributed among the states? Where is it to be disposed of? By leading state politicians who have friends to favor and political partisans to gratify? Indeed. In other words, you're going to tax the people. The money will then be distributed to the states. And the state politicians will use it for political favors for their friends and political partisans, in other words, their special interest groups. And where are you getting this money from? You're getting it from the pockets of the laborer, the mechanic, the laboring class of society, the farmer. You're stealing it from them. It will certainly not be returned to those who paid it and who have most need of it and are honestly entitled to it. There is but one safe rule, and that is to confine the general government, another word for the federal government, rigidly within the sphere of its appropriate duties. In other words, its constitutional responsibilities, and that's it. Remember our little tour we took the founding fathers and early presidents on yesterday and how shocked they were that the American people have allowed these gigantic buildings to be built to house government agencies that are not even mentioned in the Constitution as being the rights and responsibilities of the federal government? It has no power to raise a revenue. It has no power to raise a revenue or impose taxes except for the purposes enumerated in the Constitution. And if its income is found to exceed these wants, it should be forthwith reduced and the burden of the people so far lightened. Reviewing the conflicts of which have taken place between different interests in the United States, and the policy pursued since the adoption of our present form of government, we find nothing that has produced such deep-seated evil as the course of legislation in relation to the currency. Wow. Nothing that has created such deep-seated evil as the course of legislation in relation to the currency. He says the Constitution of the United States unquestionably intended to secure to the people a circulating medium of, wait for it, gold and silver. Gold and silver. Gold coins, silver coins. But the establishment of a national bank by Congress with the privilege of issuing paper money receivable in the payment of the public dues and the unfortunate course of legislation in the several states upon the same subject drove from general circulation the constitutional currency and submitted one of paper in its place. And here we are today with this fiat currency. Pull a note out of your billfold, out of your wallet. And what does it say? U.S. Treasury? Federal Reserve note. Is it backed by anything? No, not since Nixon closed the gold window. Backed by oil. But that, here we are today, January 27th, 2023, in Saudi Arabia, working in concert with nations of which we are on the verge of war, Russia, China, the BRICS banking system, Brazil just been taken over by a communist leader who was their president, corrupt, went to prison for political corruption, supposed to serve multiple years, served 18 months. They let him out, ran him for president, and stole the election and empowered him, and have now taken over almost all of South America now. So add Brazil to the BRICS banking system, and you know, it was a little odd when I would talk about the BRICS banking system, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, because I like Bolsonaro down there. And now, of course, he's gone. They've installed a communist. They let him out of prison, ran him as their puppet. And now we see Saudi Arabia willing to drop the U.S. dollar as a world reserve currency and go with the BRICS banking system. And the occupant of the White House, by all indications, is a puppet of the CCP. He is a puppet of the CCP and has done everything you would do if you were a puppet of the CCP. So even if you doubt my claim that he's a puppet of the CCP, what has he done that you would not do if you were a puppet of the CCP? Everything he has done is for deliberate destruction of our currency, of our economy, of our national security, of our history, of our heritage, of our constitutional rights. You pull the Patriot missiles out of Saudi Arabia. We've shown you the pictures of them there. We've shown you the satellite photos of them not being there. And we remove the security measures by which to protect Saudi Arabia, as was part of our agreement since the Nixon administration, if they would trade oil on the world market backed by the American dollar. Make that the petrodollar, to give it a backing. Why would you do that? Why would you do that, Biden? Unless you're working for the other team, China, which is part of the BRICS banking system. Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Now they're adding Saudi Arabia. Now they're adding Argentina. What does China have in Argentina? Big space, big space complex. Dual technology. Listening devices. Yeah, now they're putting it on farmland in North Dakota. Just a few miles from military bases. So, in reviewing the conflicts, nothing has created such deep-seated evil as our money system. The United States unequivocally intended to secure to the people a circulating medium of gold and silver, but the establishment of a national bank by Congress with the privilege of issuing money receivable in the payment of the public dues, an unfortunate course of legislation in the several states upon the same subject, drove from general circulation the constitutional currency and submitted one of paper in its place. It was not easy for men engaged in the ordinary pursuits of business, whose attention had not been particularly drawn to the subject, to foresee all the consequences of a currency exclusively of paper. Isn't that interesting, what he just said there? Because isn't that the case today? It was not easy for men engaged in the ordinary pursuits of business, whose attention had not been particularly drawn to the subject. How many subjects have we talked about here over the many decades? 30 years next month, I founded Worldview Weekends, been doing what I've been doing since 1990. And how many subjects have we covered that are not of the ordinary, really, interest, not of the ordinary interest of the average American? They don't really aren't interested in it. They don't understand why they should be interested in it, or they don't even know if they should be interested in it because they never even thought about it before. How many topics have we talked about that are of that nature? I talked to a friend the other day, nearing 70 years old, very well informed on many issues, but had no idea what the BRICS banking system was. Had no idea the things that I'm talking about with you today. He would like to know them. And I'm like, well, if you listen to my radio show and TV shows, you'll know this. I have dear friends of mine. I've had lifelong friends. They call me and they ask me about this and that, and they want a private seminar. Irritates me to no end. And I let them know it, too. You know, I don't hold back. They're lifelong friends, so if they've been friends this long, they've heard me be blunt more than once. I'm like, do you really think I'm going to sit here and give you a private seminar? I'm on TV 4 hours a day. I'm worn out. I've used all my words by the time I get off the air. I'm not going to sit here and give you an hour private seminar. You better tune in. They do that to me. Who are you having on tonight? I'm like, I don't know. It's a long list. I don't have my calendar in front of me. What are you talking about tonight? Who are you interviewing tonight? What did you talk about? You know, tune in. And if you don't have time to tune in, then pick it up on the replay on demand. But these are some of my good friends, and they want to know, but you know what's going on with them? They're busy. They're busy with their pursuits in business and ministries and being pastors and business owners. So in one sense, I get frustrated with them. But in another sense, if I wasn't doing this as my occupation and calling, would I not be just like them? I'd be doing my best to keep up. But I would be busy trying to run my business, pay my bills. I would be burdened with the taxation. And I would be, which I am already, but I would, like them, would be burdened with taxation, trying to run a successful business, turn a profit, pay my employees, fill out all the tax forms, which again, I have to do all those things on top of that too myself. But I'd be busy out doing bids, talking to customers, recruiting customers, managing employees. And at the end of the day, you're like, wait a minute, I just missed Brandon's show. Wonder what he talked about today. So I get it. And even Andrew Jackson said, look, The average person's busy, and they don't think about these things. They don't foresee the dangers or the consequences. And in this area, the consequences of exclusively of paper. And we ought not, on that account, to be surprised at the facility with which laws were obtained to carry out into effect the paper system. The citizen wasn't paying attention. Don't you think part of the goal, folks, is to have us so busy, so distracted that we don't pay attention to what's really going on? Like a magician and the sleight of hand. Look at this hand over here while he's maneuvering for his little trick with the hand you're not paying attention to. The sleight of hand. So much that's covered on the news, folks, is a distraction. So you will not think about what they're really doing. How many Americans realize, I know after COVID more have awakened, but how many Americans do you think are aware of just how easy it would be for them to have a pantry that is empty, no food, in a matter of days? How many Americans are aware of the fact that their banking system is bankrupt? The bank they're with is likely bankrupt with traditional accounting tools. How many Americans are aware the FDIC warned in their own meeting on video in November of 2022 there will be bail-ins, not bailouts. There will be runs on bank. It should be on a need-to-know basis, and we should keep the public in the dark. And most people in the public have a trust in the banking system beyond those in the room. The banking people. Most Americans, the vast majority, have no idea what I just said. And this is how, my friends, they get away with it. Be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programming of worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com, and the 24/7 television stream? Well, did you know that many of the cameras that you're watching right now, we were able to buy those because you went to MyPillow.com and used the promo code WVW? We were able to do away with our old cameras and go to 4K cameras several years ago, cameras we've been using for like 12 plus years. We're able to get brand new 4K cameras because so many of you went to MyPillow.com and you used the promo code WVW. Yeah, it really matters that much. If you want to help us to continue to grow WVW Broadcast Network with our programming, our live programs, our documentaries, as well as through our technology that's needed to keep all of it going, then here's an opportunity for you to help yourself and help us at the same time. Please consider going to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WVW for deep savings and discounts. And every time you use that code, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep the WVW Broadcast Network, Worldview Radio, and WVW TV going. So please, buy your sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, robes, mattresses, mattress toppers, and more at MyPillow.com, but it's vital that you use the code WVW. When you use that code WVW, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep this 24/7 stream going and all the other programs that are on demand for free at WorldviewRadio.com and WVWTV.com. I cannot stress to you enough how vital it is that you support us and use that code. It does make a difference. So thank you for going to MyPillow.com and using that code WVW. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, website worldviewradio.com. So he says, honest and even enlightened men are sometimes misled. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Honest and even enlightened men are sometimes misled by the specious and plausible statements of the designing. Yeah, they always dress it up, don't they? This is for safety. This is for security. This is for prosperity. The security-prosperity partnership. Well, who could be against that? That's just a masking term to hide the North American Union. NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. Who could be against that? Free trade. And many get caught up in these statements. But experience has now proved that mischiefs and dangers of a paper currency, and it rests with you to determine whether the proper remedy shall be applied. Meaning, it rests on us, the American people. The paper system being found on public confidence and having of itself no intrinsic value. It is liable to great and sudden fluctuations, thereby rendering property insecure and the wages of labor unsteady and uncertain. The corporations, what? The corporations which create the paper money, yeah, just like today, corporations, Federal Reserve, private group of banks given a federal charter, public-private partnership, big government, big business, the corporations which create the paper money cannot be relied upon to keep the circulating medium uniform in amount. In times of prosperity, when confidence is high, they are tempted by the prospect of gain or by the influence of those who hope to profit by it to extend their issue of paper beyond the bounds of discretion and the reasonable demands of business. And when these issues have been pushed on from one day to another, or pushed on from day to day, until public confidence is at length shaken, then a reaction takes place, and they immediately withdraw the credits they have given, suddenly curtail their issues, and produce an unexpected and ruinous contraction of the circulating medium, which is felt by the whole community. The banks, by this means, save themselves, and the mischievous consequences of their imprudence, our cupidity, are visited upon the public. Have we seen that? How many builders could call in today? How many of you guys who are builders could call in today and your bank was all surefire ready to loan you all kinds of money? Loan you all kinds of money to go build those houses. I have friends of mine that are old enough to be my parents who were such builders in the 80s. And the banks were happy to lend them all kinds of money to go out and build their buildings. And many, many builders from one end of this country to the other have been involved in the pursuits of building the buildings, building the houses that they were loaned the money to build by the bank, only to have the bank, when it became of a risk to them, to call those loans or call those notes. Now you say, well, they shouldn't have gotten themselves into that kind of situation. Fair enough. But some of these guys would agree to certain types of loans at lower interest rates, which of course opened themselves up to this kind of thing. But many people have been lured into this and the expansion of the money supply or the credit, only to have it when it risked the bank to contract and have a ruinous effect on the American people and the business owner. He went on to say, nor does the evil stop here. The ebbs and flows in the currency and these indiscreet extensions of credit naturally engender a spirit of speculation injurious to the habits and character of the people. Well, what am I talking about? Yeah, people start speculating. They start taking risks they shouldn't take, and then the bank fears the loss of their profits, and they contract the money. Of course, this is, again, the scam of fractional reserve banking. For every dollar they take in, they loan out $1,000. I'm not saying that's the exact number, but I'm giving you an example. For every dollar they take in, maybe it's $500. But the reality is, this is the scam of fractional reserve banking. We have already seen its effects in the wild spirit of speculation in the public lands and various kinds of stock, which within the last year or two seized upon such a multitude of our citizens and threatened to pervade all classes of society and to withdraw their attention from the sober pursuits of honest industry. In other words, expand the money supply and people start taking speculative risks. It ends up impacting all of us. Because if some of us goes belly up and can't pay their bills, that has a ripple effect in the economy. It is not by encouraging this spirit that we shall best preserve public virtue and promote true interests of our country. In other words, greed, speculation, gambling, this is not a good idea. But If your currency continues as exclusively paper as it now is, it will foster this eager desire, listen now, to amass wealth without labor. Now, isn't that crucial? Because what did we say the other day? Money is supposed to be a medium of exchange based on labor. Even pulling silver and gold out of the ground requires an investment. It requires labor. It is rare. Gold and silver is a rare earth element, and it requires work or labor to mine it. This is one of the things that makes it value. The intrinsic value is that it is rare and requires the investment of capital and labor to produce it. But when you can just create paper money, you're not laboring, you're just printing. When you create digits, there's not been the laboring to produce an asset that is backed by something of intrinsic value that represents labor or work and investment. It will foster this eager desire to amass wealth without labor. Isn't that what happened when we expand the money supply and give people loans they can't afford to pay back? We know that. They think, oh, I'm going to do this. The government's giving money. The bank's giving out cheap money. We can go do this and make lots of money. Quick money. Easy money. It will multiply the number of dependents on bank accommodations and bank favors. The temptation to obtain money at any sacrifice will become stronger and stronger and inevitably lead to corruption, which will find its way into your public councils and destroy, at no distant day, the purity of your government. Indeed. And now most of our politicians are on the take. Most of them are on the take, and they do what they do so they can plunder the treasury, plunder the taxpayer funds. For who? For themselves? For their special interest? Or they see the plunder for the purpose of philanthropic purposes. That's not the purpose of government. Some of the evils which arise from this system of paper pressed with particular hardship upon the class of society least able to bear it. A portion of this currency frequently became depreciated or worthless. And all of it is easily counterfeited in such a manner as to require particular skill and much experience to distinguish the counterfeit from the genuine note. Well, isn't that the case? We've heard the talk of North Korea pumping all kinds of counterfeit money into our economy. You know that, right? That's one reason you keep seeing the $100 bill change and all the security measures put into place. These frauds are most generally perpetrated in the smaller notes, which are used in the daily transactions of ordinary business, and losses occasioned by them are commonly thrown upon the laboring classes of society. So, you pay a laborer to shoe your horse, he gets counterfeit. He can't afford that. These views alone of the paper currency are sufficient to call for immediate reform, but there is another consideration which should still more strongly press it upon your attention. Recent events have proved that the paper money system of this country may be used as an engine to undermine your free institutions, and that those who desire to engross all power in the hands of the few and to govern by corruption or force are aware of its power and prepared to employ it. In other words, they're going to use the money to grow the size of government, create more government agencies, create more red tape, more bureaucracy, and control you, the American people, and thus empowering themselves through the agencies they control. One way. But when the charter of the Bank of the United States was obtained from Congress, it perfected the schemes of the paper system and gave to its advocates, the position they have struggled to obtain from the commencement of the federal government to the present hour. The immense capital, listen now, what'd they gain? The immense capital and particular privileges bestowed upon it enabled it to exercise despotic sway, despotic, like a dictator, despotic sway over other banks in every part of the country. From its superior strength, meaning this central bank, the Bank of the United States, from its superior strength, it could seriously injure, if not destroy, the business of any one of them which might incur its resentment. In other words, bankers that didn't want to be a part of this scam could be destroyed. And it openly claimed for itself the power of regulating the currency throughout the United States. In other words, it asserted and undoubtedly possessed the power to make money plenty or scarce at its pleasure, at any time, and in any quarter of the Union, by controlling the issues of other banks and permitting an expansion or compelling a general contraction of the circulating medium according to its own will. Other banking institutions were sensible of its strength, and they soon generally became its obedient instruments. Now, folks, if you think that's bad now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till we go to FedNow, as they're describing it on the Federal Reserve website, FedNow. And every one of us is going to have something we do not have right now, and that is a Federal Reserve account. And all of your commercial banks, from what I'm hearing, will become paper pushers for the federal government. You want a loan? You go to your commercial bank. Your commercial bank does the paperwork for the Fed. The Fed looks at your social credit scores and your credit score, along with your social credit score, and determines whether you're going to get a loan. But your local commercial bank will be the paper pusher, the agent for the Federal Reserve. Oh, what kind of power will they have over the branches of these individual banks, as well as us? He goes on to say, the result of the ill-advised legislation which established this great monopoly was to concentrate the whole moneyed power of the Union with its boundless means of corruption and its numerous dependents under the direction and command of one acknowledged head, thus organizing this particular interest as one body and securing to its unity and concert of action throughout the United States, and enabling it to bring forward upon any occasion its entire and undivided strength to support or defeat any measure of the government. In other words, they're now so powerful, so rich with their money, they can control the government. Phone line is now open, 1-800-347-9829. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you have food insurance? I'm sure you have car insurance, life insurance, house insurance, medical insurance. But what about food insurance? We saw after COVID just how vulnerable our just-in-time inventory is. We saw what happened to basics like soups, meat, paper towels, toilet paper. This again showed the fragile nature of our just-in-time inventory. In fact, we've now, since COVID, seen, well, what appears to be an orchestrated attack on our food and food processing plants. And then, of course, now the war on poultry, chickens. Well, we know that many of these things the elite do, they plan. And they plan it for one reason, control. A few years ago, I did a whole series on how they plan to control us. Food, finances, firearms, foreign invasion, family health care. I listed multiple Fs that they can use to control us. One of them, of course, is food and finances. We talk about those things a lot. In fact, I think it was about 2020, the Rockefeller Foundation put out a document called Reset the Table, where they're talking about nationalizing our food industry. That sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Well, food is a great way to control people. And if you would like to have your own food insurance, as I've had for my family since 2013, then we invite you to go to WVWTVstore.com and check out the freeze-dried food we offer. It's actually really good. Tastes really good. You can get everything from a two-week kit to a 72-hour test kit just to try it out. Then you can get a three-month kit, 6 months, year, 2 year. If you do a 2 year or more, we advise you to use the phone and Libby will cut you a deal on shipping. So you can order online at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com. Or by calling 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. As I said, I've had emergency freeze-dried food for my family since 2013. I didn't mention it on the air until 2016. When I did, well, we got a lot of emails, texts, and phone calls. What'd you get? Where'd you get it? How do we get it? We thought, well, you know what? If our audience wants it, let's provide that service to our audience, and we'll use a reasonable profit in there to fund our broadcast network. And that's exactly what we've done. So I know you can purchase your emergency freeze-dried food from a lot of different sources. Thank you for purchasing it from us, because we're able to provide you with a service, and it's a big part of our general operating budget to keep offering free radio shows and free TV shows. By the way, they're free to you, but not to us. We have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bill to push out free programming. So if you appreciate that fact, please consider ordering your emergency freeze-dried food from us at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com, or by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. With all this happening in the world today, why would you not want your own food insurance? Thank you. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Aren't you impressed by the wisdom, the knowledge of President Andrew Jackson, who so warned us of what would happen if we did not go back to a constitutional form of money and the corruption that would grow around this? And as we just said in the last statement, they'll be able to use their money, this powered money group will be able to use their money to control government. And now today we see the government that we have in America is not a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's a government of the special interest. It's a government of the big corporations. It's a government of the international corporations. It's a government of a powerful elite. Again, notice how they can find out about deals that you and I could never find out about in advance. And many of these people go in the office, put there by their bankster friends with near a couple pennies to rub together, and yet they come out multimillionaires because of the legalized insider trading they're involved in. 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Let's go to Diane, line one. Line two. Diane, thanks for calling in, Diane.
Hi. It's Diana. Anyway,
Diana.
The Archie Bunker show that used to be on, remember that song they had on there? Didn't need no welfare state. Everybody pulled his weight.
Yes. That was the opening song.
Yeah, I love that. But, I tell you, he was right. He was right on. And then he said something about electricity. They get you to buy all these electric things. You get all electric rates. If you buy all electric things, then you buy them all, and then they shut you off. So, it was true.
And aren't we headed that way now, Diana?
Oh, yeah.
With our smart cities and our smart meters, and they tell us how this is so good and going to save us money and cut your bill, and then when you don't comply, they turn you off. The same moneyed group are involved in that.
An electric timer on my water heater. They provide the water heater, but then they can shut it off when they want. They shut off the water heater at a certain time at night because you don't use it anyways, you know, so it saves power.
Yep.
But they charge you, they give you a $3 discount from having that water heater put in to have it shut off and everything off and on. That's been since 1978 in Valley Junction, when I lived in Valley Junction in 78. I have had that same $3 every month. Don't you think that should go up as your bill goes up? It never goes up. It's still $3.
Wow. $3 a month to give control to that company. Wow. Thank you, Diana. Line one, Patsy from Wichita Falls, Texas. Hi, Patsy.
Hi, Brennan. Thanks for all you guys do,
keeping us
enlightened and informed. But I just wanted to mention, you know, all the stuff that's going on in the news right now, all these videos and stuff that they're putting out there, I just want to say, I don't believe everything that I see or hear, because I think a lot of it is fake. Talking about, you know, just what's going on, don't you think that we have to go through all of this? God's in control. We've got to remember God's in control. And there's going to be a better future for us someday, and we just got to remember that he's in control.
Absolutely. You know what I like about that, Patsy? I was texting with a friend of mine who for years and years and years was at the church of Dr. Adrian Rogers here in town, and she is old enough to be my mom, and she makes me some great meals, and my wife and I go over there, and we love her home-cooking meals, Southern meals. Woo! And so she was texting with me yesterday about one of my TV shows and talking about just how horrific the times have gotten, and I thought, I need to try to find a way to encourage her. And you know, I thought of this, and it's really what you're saying. The worse things get, the more we long for heaven. And the worse things get, the more we'll have a perspective, I believe, of how great heaven is. In other words, we are being prepared even now for how glorious heaven will be. And I think in one respect, what's happening now is necessary. Of course, we know it's necessary to fulfill Bible prophecy. But the Bible says that we are right now being trained. We are being tested for greater things to come, and even a place in the kingdom of God where we will have incredible responsibility. And of course, we know at the Bema seat we'll get rewards. There's not Bema seat for salvation, but for various rewards. And so even now, as we are going through these horrible times, the way we respond, the way we produce leadership and servitude to other Christians and non-Christians through evangelism, we're preparing for leadership and a great kingdom to come. So a lot of things are going to come from what we're going through right now. Maybe we just don't fully realize it. Thank you, Patsy. Line 3, John from Jacksonville, Alabama. Thank you, John, for calling in.
Hi Brandon. John. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Brandon, I just wanted to say up front that I appreciate the work you're doing and all the hours you're putting in. It's appreciated here.
Thank you.
I would ask you to look at another perspective, and that would be like a biblical perspective on this thing we're calling money, and that is that the man is the creditor, the bank is not. So when we look at borrowing money from a bank, that's not actually what's happening in that transaction. The man is authoring the creation of currency when he goes to the bank and makes application for that loan. And it's just a different perspective that I'd like you to consider looking at, Brandon.
Yeah.
And man inherited the earth. So God's the creditor, the creator. He created man. Man created the government. Man's the creditor. When we go to the bank, we place ourselves in the position of debtor voluntarily, but that's not our rightful place. That's all I'd like to say, Brandon.
Well, I agree with that. And the Bible speaks about not being in debt and being enslaved in debt. I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And I think we've kind of made that clear over the years here, talking about being debt-free, but also talking about being diversified so you're not under their thumb, whether through their inflation of paper money to ruin you or through a coming credit score and being outside their system. We talk about that with gold and silver. We talk about that with food. Why would you want to be under their thumb and give them control and be a slave to them? I agree with you, John. Let's go to Ryan from Iowa. Go real quick, Ryan. We'll get you in, Ryan.
Hey there. Thank you so much, Brandon, for all you do. One thing to notice is this historical thing, the fractional reserve banking. I don't think it's anywhere near a new thing. We look in the Old Testament, how many times do you see something about diverse weights and diverse measures or the abomination for the Lord? I think that has a lot to do with how they used to do things as well.
Yeah, well, I do think fractional reserve banking is evil, and I don't think it's just for the reason we've been describing. We'll pick this up more next week. Thanks for all your calls. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you receive my weekly email newsletter? I bet many of you don't even know I have a weekly email newsletter. Well, I do, and I've been sending those out for years. I provide links to, radio shows, TV shows, and articles that I think are of particular importance. I think all of our shows and articles are important, but some, well, they're vital that you hear and hear in a timely manner. So I send them out in my email newsletter. You can join my free email newsletter by simply texting the initials WVW to 22828. Just text WVW, as in Worldview Weekend, just text WVW to 22828. That's 22828. When you do that, it'll send back to you a form where you put in your email and then hit send. And now you've joined my weekly free Worldview newsletter. So just simply text WVW to 22828. WVW to 22828. Thank you.